We're pleased to welcome Gary Cornwell back with us. This is the last week for guest speakers. Richard will be back on the Sunday after the festival. So Gary has been with us before. He's from Hazelwood Christian Church, but he's getting ready to start an interim ministry at Fillmore. So if you would please help me welcome Gary Cornwell.
And good morning, everyone, on this eve of the Labor Day weekend. It ain't hard to believe that the summer's gone by so quickly, and here we are in September, and the leaves are starting to fall, and we're heading into a beautiful time of the year. I love the fall time of the year, but here we are. Tomorrow is Labor Day, and what's Labor Day all about? Do you ever think about that? You know, really, what's the big deal about Labor Day? And that's really kind of the attitude I had for a long time. Well, it's just another holiday, you know, and it's done. But it's not. I did a little research, and here's what I found and what it says. It says Labor Day, which is, you know, is always observed on the first Monday of September, pays tribute to the contributions and achievements of American workers. It was created by the labor movement in the late 19th century and became a federal holiday in 1894. Now, as I began to dig into that and start reading more, it got my attention. It was really interesting to see what was behind all of that and what took place, how it all came about. And you might want to do a little research on your own on that. But it is basically a time to recognize and observe and honor the workforce of the American people. Now, it's also a day, a weekend that symbolizes the unofficial end of summer. And tomorrow it will be a day of a lot of things going on. Now there'll be some places that are closed, and there'll be picnics and boating and fishing and golfing. And my family, we're bikers, bicyclers that is, and we're going to get our grandkids and go up to Hamilton County and ride our bicycles up there. Where Debbie and I are on a mission to ride in every county in Indiana. And so we've ridden in 24 counties so far. Of course, we're not going to get it all done this year, but we just enjoyed that type of a thing. So we're going to be with our grandkids tomorrow riding bicycles. But it's a day like that. It's a kind of a special time to go off and do things. Well, today I want to speak on the topic, a call to pray for Labor Day. A call to pray for Labor Day. Now, there's another sermon that I really wanted to share with you, a sermon about Jesus, who he is, and what he really means to us or should mean to us. And that came on my heart about a month or so ago, and I really wanted to share that today, but as I kept coming toward Labor Day, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, no, let's go this direction. So here we are, and we'll see how that turns out. So I'm going to speak on a call to pray for Labor Day. You know, Labor Day this year is just different. It just is. It's different because of what's happening in the world, isn't it? I mean, there's so much stuff going on. There's the COVID-19 that's still very much affecting our world, and we're dealing with it. Fires burning out west, hurricanes that are sweeping through and destroying people's property, and people today are homeless down the south because of what's happened there, and more hurricanes are coming. The Afghanistan situation and how it may still affect our future. The disunity of our government, people not wanting to work, even though there's lots of jobs out there now, they don't want to work. And there's just so much stuff going on that I just feel like if there's ever a time when we as a church need to come together, a church across the nation, and pray and be focused on prayer, wow, I believe it is now. I believe, and I always have been, but I truly believe in the power of prayer. And I believe very much in that verse of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that you've probably seen a lot in the last year or so. But I believe, I mean, of course, all of God's Word is true. But just look at what it says again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I believe that God our Father in a heartbeat is ready to do that for America or for any other nation who would do that if God's people will come together and do that. But Abraham Lincoln said, He said, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and pray for clemency and forgiveness. F.B. Meyer said, "The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." E.M. Bounds wrote, "Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer can move God." Cecil Todd, you may recognize that name, a man still around. He said long ago, I heard him say at a revival that he preached at, he says, "On your knees, you are taller than trees." And it's true, isn't it? It is. And then Jesus is the one. I mean, Jesus, when he went through the temple that day and was going through and looking and seeing what was going on, he said this, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" Someone has said, if we are not a house of prayer, we pull the plug on the power of the church. And isn't that true? We're to be a house of prayer. That's what we're to do as a people of God, a place coming together, a people of prayer. And so I wanted to talk about that. Why pray? Why do we need to pray? How do we pray? Well, there's a lot of different ideas that you can read about in different books, and I'm going to suggest something here before in just a few minutes. But I like what David Butt says of Harvest Prayer Ministries over in Terre Haute. He said in answer to this question, why pray? Because prayer attracts the attention of heaven. I like that. Prayer attracts the attention of heaven. And to be more specific about this as we go into this, why pray, here's just two or three reasons I want to suggest to you this morning. First of all, because prayer connects you to God. Think about that. Prayer connects us to Almighty God, our God and Father who created the heavens and the earth. You know, you can't call the President of the United States or the President of some company without getting, I mean, you just can't pick up the phone and call them. And isn't it frustrating when you're trying to get help somewhere? I mean, you couldn't call the president or the owner and the founder of Amazon company or any other company. You can't get through to them. You got to go through all these challenges. And a lot of times you get this automated voice that starts asking you all these questions to try to find out why you want to call so that they can kind of help you. And you know it's an animated voice, and all you want to do is talk to a real voice, right? But you know what? You don't get that with God. Why? Because as the people of God, as the children of God, He's our Father. And yes, He's Almighty. And yes, there's not a one of us that's worthy to call upon the name of God who knows everything about us and how many times we've made the mistakes over and over and over again. But yet He is so loving and He loves us so much as His Father that we've got His attention. How does He do it? And I've asked myself many times, how can God hear me, one of 7+ billion people on earth? I'm just one little bitty speck down here. Is He really hearing my prayer? Well, He is. How so? Because He's God. He's Creator. He's our Father. He wants us to call Him His Father. And when I call out to God, when you call out to God, you've got His undivided attention. And He's ready to listen to whatever it is that's on your heart. And if you just think about that, when we as a church and in one locality across the nation begin to call out to God, to our Father, and to cry out to Him and to plead to Him, we've got His attention. We've got the attention of all of heaven. So it's exciting to know that God hears our prayers. And you don't get a busy signal or anything like that. He hears your prayers. But secondly, prayer releases God's power that will transform your life. If you've not been praying much lately, if you've kind of felt distance from God, you start praying. It'll change your life from the inside out. Now, we've all heard that prayer changes things, and it does. But folks, it'll change you. It'll change you, your thinking, your heart, your attitude, your everything. When you start talking to your Creator, our Heavenly Father, it'll change you from the inside out. Someone has said that when I work, I work. When I pray, God works. And He does, doesn't He? When you pray, God goes to work through His almighty power. The amazing thing about prayer is that when you pray, the power of God is released in your life, in the life of the situation that we're praying for, when the people come together and pray, he specializes in the impossible, doesn't he? And of course he does. You see, because of prayer and the power of prayer, addictions of every kind that you can think of have been overcome in people's lives who've turned to God and sought Him. Bodies have been literally physically healed because of the power of prayer. Churches have been built in some of the most unbelievable places in the world, but churches have come together and been built because of the power of prayer. Devils have been forced to leave their stronghold on people's lives. People have been saved from floods, from earthquakes, tornadoes, fires, sickness, and disease because of the power of prayer. People have been lost souls have been saved from a devil's hell because of people have been praying for those people. Marital relationships have been restored and strengthened when a husband and wife come together and begin a regular routine of prayer, when it seems like the marriage was all over and done, but when a husband and wife have come together and stopped living by emotions and started praying, marriages have been saved and strengthened because of the power of prayer. You see, the list of human impossibilities goes on. It goes on with all the great transformations that take place that seem so unbelievable. It happens around the world because of one or a group of people that's come together and gone on their knees and prayed to Almighty God in faith to make things happen. Daniel Henderson, one of my favorite authors, who's got a ministry that goes out to try to help leaders in the church to become praying leaders in the church. And he's written some books on prayer. And he said this in one book. He says, "Praying Christians, while not perfect, are growing every day to the point that they act, think, speak, and serve like Jesus." And it's true. It's so true. When you start talking to your Father and your Creator, He changes you from the inside out. And when a group of people come together and begin to pray, the power of God is released and He changes us to be like Jesus. Third reason that we need to pray is because, folks, prayer is the hope of our nation, in our community, and the church. And I got something special to say about the church in just a moment. A man by the name of Alan Vandergren has written a book called Love to Pray. And it's a great study for a Bible study group or just an individual study on prayer. And I've taken the Hazelwood Christian Church on a couple of different sessions through that whole study. It's a great study on prayer. But in his book, he says this: prayer can move mountains. It can change human hearts. It can change families, neighborhoods, cities, and nations. It's the ultimate source of power because it is the power of the Almighty God. That's what prayer is, folks. And if there's ever a time when we need to be praying for our nation, when we need to be praying for our community, when we need to be praying for the church, it's now. It's now. It's surely now. Labor Day represents the working force of America. And that represents a lot of different people. And I don't know about you, I get a lot of prayer requests. I get them from email, I get them from Facebook, I get them from people that just call, and you know, the list grows, and it gets to the place where, you know, I just can't remember all these prayer lists, and so it's got to be some kind of a system to kind of help you do that. And I want to suggest to you a system. It's not a new idea with me, but I just want to get you to thinking about prayer again, encourage you if you are a prayer warrior, if you're one person that just prays kind of occasionally, I want to encourage you to I just hope and pray that this will ignite you to start praying more. But here's a suggestion on an idea for prayer of remembering these different situations. Get you a calendar and just on the day of the week, let's start with Monday, and in one key word, education. And with education, we need to be in prayer for our school teachers, for our students, for the administration, for the bus drivers. Folks, wow, my heart goes out so much to the school administration, the teachers today, what they've got to go through, and bus drivers, and the undiscipline of kids. I used to have a CDL license, and I used to think, well, someday when I retire, that'd kind of be a fun thing, pick up a little extra money, I'll drive a school bus. But over the last few years, seeing what has happened, I just let my CDL drop. I mean, you know, I would kill some kids if it was me, because I believe in discipline. but you know you can't touch it. You know the problem. You know what I'm talking about. It's tough. And so those bus drivers, they need prayers. And again, the schools, the challenges. And it's so sad that the kids are not able to really be the students. And last year with COVID and the high school graduating classes and all the disruption, you know what I'm talking about. They need our prayers. And so I encourage you. I encourage you to get a group of people and just do a prayer walk around the school system out here. Pray for these people. You could do that. Make that a prayer on Mondays. Tuesdays, medical. By medical, I'm thinking of the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals, the first responders. I mean, these people right here are truly heroes, aren't they? I mean, it's just been unbelievable what we've heard in this past year of how the hospitals have been. And even now, they're saying that they're doing away or they're delaying certain kinds of surgeries because the hospitals are starting to fill up again. Folks, I tell you, what's happening in the world? What's taking place? These people who are overworked, they need our prayers. And so make it a list. Just be in prayer for them. Wednesdays might be a day for law enforcement, our police officers. Our sheriffs, again, folks, these folks are out there on the front line. They're out there dealing with the criminals. They're out there dealing with the people that'll shoot and kill them in a blink of an eye, and it's happening. And the poor the families of these officers, when they leave home, they don't know if their husband, their loved one's going to come home that night or not. They need our prayers. They need God's protection. And I would encourage you that when you're going down the road and you see a police officer and you see him sitting off to the side, that's a golden opportunity to just shoot a prayer to heaven. I call them arrow prayers. And just prayer for that police officer sitting there and for his safety and for his job and for those guys and what they're doing. They need our prayers. And I encourage you to remember these men who are out there protecting us. Just think what would happen if all the law enforcement, I've heard of law enforcement officers, some of them that are just getting out of that because of their hands being tied. And you know the problems and the issues. They need our prayers. And prayer can make a difference. And pray for the police, law enforcement. Thursdays, military. Military, from the top down, from the President of the United States, all the way down to the, you know, all the different men, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guards, all these gentlemen, they need our prayers. I'm so thankful that they're out there defending our country. And again, they need prayers. Pray for recruits. Pray for those families when their loved ones go on deployment and they're left behind. They need our prayers. There's a lot going on in the military. And they need our prayers. Make that a day of prayer, Thursday, or whatever day of the week you choose. Friday, social. Just call it social for the community. Now, this can include neighbors. Do you pray for your neighbors? Do you know your neighbors? Have you been building relationships with your neighbors? I don't care if they're back down the road a half a mile. Do you know your neighbors? Get to know your neighbors. Pray for your neighbors. Build relationships with them. People that you play golf with or go fishing with or whatever kind of social club activity you are, it's an opportunity to pray for them. The people that you have contact with, like where you go out and eat on a regular basis. You know, we are big Culver's fans, and I think they know us by first name basis down there because we've been there so many times. Pray for those people that you get to know. All these different social people and all the different areas that they need prayers. And especially, I mean, has it been unbelievable? We've gone out to eat before, and we've pulled up, and we went inside to eat, and they said, no, you can't eat. Why not? Because we don't have enough help today. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing, that these places they have to shut down for the day because they can't get people to come in and work, folks. We're hurting. Our nation, our businesses, they need prayers. And so pray for them. Saturday, missionaries. Missionaries all around the world. Persecuted Christians. If you don't think we're not living in a time of persecution of Christians, then you've got your head buried in the sand. Have you heard some of those statements by the Taliban? About how I heard one statement says to the Taliban guy, said to the Christians over there in Afghanistan, well, we know who you are, and we're coming for you. And there's Christians over there that are being persecuted now. And not only there, but in North Korea and all over the world. I mean, people have lost their freedoms, and Christians, they need prayers. They need to remain faithful. They need our prayers. And that may happen to us someday, folks. We need to pray, unite as a church. The Bible says that as Jesus comes, there will be a great falling away. And I don't know about you, but it looks to me like that's happening even more than it's ever happened before. Jesus is coming, and he said it's going to get bad before it gets good. And so if there's ever a time when we need to be on our knees praying for people of all these different groups, I believe it is now. Well, Sunday, I bring it back with Sunday, and I start out with that. The churches, wow, it's been tough in our churches, hasn't it? I mean, there are still people. There are still people today. And I'm thankful for online services where people can watch. But there are still people who are not back in church. When this COVID thing took over, it's taken over their lives, and now they're at home. Now, what frustrates me a little bit is that I run into some of these same people down at Culver's or Walmart or wherever, and they can get out and do those things, and they can't get back to church. There's something wrong with that, folks. There's something wrong. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the elders. We need to pray for the youth workers. We need to pray for the church. The church is in having difficult times, and we need to be on our knees praying for Monrovia Christian Church and all the other churches around throughout the land. And folks, I want to encourage you to be in prayer for preachers. Preachers. Folks, there's a preacher shortage. I know of 5 churches right now that are without a minister. And one church has been without a minister for 2 years. They can't get them. And in our colleges, there's a lot of specialized, you know, there's youth ministries, there's discipleship ministry, there's music ministry, and all that's fine and good. But the church, colleges are not, there's not people coming out to be preachers. And there needs to be more preachers. I retired last year, but I've been preaching more than I have in the last 10 years. Because I could just say, well, hey, I'm retired. I don't have to do this anymore. But I don't want to do that. I feel like if God can use me, I'm going to help fill in. And I've been filling in for these churches this summer. And now the Fillmore Christian Church, who I've been helping out for the last 10 years, filling in for the preacher over there, that minister has resigned because of health reasons. So they've asked me to be the interim pastor beginning in October. So I'm praying for a preacher over there. I don't want to do that for the rest of my life. But I want to be available. I'm just saying there's a need for preachers. Pray for our Bible colleges. Pray for those Bible college students that's gone into Ozark Christian College and Kentucky Christian College and St. Louis and Lincoln and Johnson and all those different colleges. Pray that God will move in the hearts of young men who've gone there with one idea, but God can use them to be preachers. Pray that God will touch their hearts so that they'll rise up to become ministers who will fill the pulpits, because there's a need for pulpits. Churches are hurting because there's not enough ministers. And so we need to pray for our churches. Lord, I truly believe Jesus is coming. And I know preachers have been saying that for a long time, but I believe if there's ever a time that we're in the season of the return of Christ, I think we're there. And I think it's just a matter, I think it's very possible we may see Jesus come in our lifetime. And if not ours, our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren. Jesus is coming. He knows what's going on. The world's not out of control like it seems. God's got everything under. He knows what's going on, and he's directing it. But we need to be his hands and his feet. Jesus said on one occasion, he said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Folks, I've come today to encourage you with prayer. Look at your own life, first of all. How is it in your relationship with God? And if it's kind of shaky and not real good, you get right with God. And prayer will get you going down the right direction. And then come together as a church and take these ideas, or be creative and do your own thing. But prayer is powerful, and our God is listening. And even though the world may be saying, no, he don't care. If he really cared, he wouldn't let all this stuff be going on. Hey, the devil is alive and well. And there is a spiritual battle that's going on between the forces of good and evil. And Satan is working hard because he knows his time is short. And he knows that in the end, he's going to lose, even though he thinks he's going to try to win. He's the loser. We're going to win because, as you've heard the old statement, I mean, I've read the back of the book, and we win. We're going to win, but we may suffer before we get to the end, but we got to get ready. We need to do what we can do. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus, and we need to be doing what we can to reach them and help them to come to know Jesus. Prayer. It all starts with prayer, and I want to encourage you to be a people of prayer. I want to take just a moment as I close here And I ask you to, in your heart, to pray, and I'm going to lead out here, and then we're going to move into our decision time. And if there's someone who has a decision or wants to come for prayer, of course, we're going to be down here and be available to do that. But would you bow with me in prayer, and let's just take a few moments and remember some of these situations, and then I'll close. Our Heavenly Father, you are God, our Creator. And as Almighty God, who knows everything about us and everything that's going on in our lives personally to everything that's going on around the world, Father God, you are Almighty, a God of love and mercy and compassion. And you know what's going on and you know what is needed. Lord, I pray that you will help us as a people, your children, a church, from right here in Monrovia and to throughout the Christian community. Lord, may we truly become a house of prayer, as Jesus said that we're to be, because, Father, you are willing to help, and you are willing to save people, and that's what is needed, Father. We know that your heart's desire is for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth in Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the hope of our nation and the hope of our community and the hope of our church. Lord, we know he's coming again. We know that your word says that he's gone to prepare a place for us and that he's coming again to take us to be with him. But Lord, we know that your word also says that no man knows the exact day or hour, but surely we must be living, Lord, in the season of his return. We want to be ready and faithful when he comes, and we want to do what we can to reach others. Lord, we've looked and covered many different workforces and recognized them this morning, and there's so many people in so many different ways that need our prayers. You love them. You care for them. Help us to care and love them too by praying for them and building relationships so that we might help them to know Jesus. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray that you'll bless them. Bless Richard as he comes back and begins his ministry again here, Lord, and just lead him with what you've taught him in these past several weeks. And may this congregation lead on and lead forward in this community in taking Jesus from the people in this community and beyond. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. And thank you for loving us and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.